thinking about retiring or already retired? This episode answers the question, should I bother investing in the stock market once I am retired? Plus the question you must answer yourself to yourself about asset allocation as a retiree. Should I reallocate or should I just leave it alone? We start right now.
And now, Money Matters USA with Fred Sage.
And you also need to work with your advisor to create multiple income streams.
You're at the right place for information every week regarding all the components of a successful retirement plan.
Asset allocation is really a driving force for how much your accounts are going to grow.
Fred Sade is a financial fiduciary and retirement specialist.
I have to put the client's interest ahead of my own pocketbook at all times. I must be able to justify why I'm making the recommendations.
Money Matters USA with Fred Sade.
So the question is, should I continue to invest in retirement? And if so, how should I continue to invest in retirement? That's Money Matters USA. And we are here with the episode 152. Fred Sade is founder and managing director of the fiduciary firm Money Matters USA. Fred, with many years in the financial services industry, focusing on retirement planning as a fiduciary and holding a PhD in economics from Duke University, Fred shares great information on this podcast available at moneymattersusa.net. So there is the question. I guess let's open with that, Fred. Should we continue to invest after retirement?
Well, I think you have to. Because you have to take into account longevity. And that's reason number one. And I think that there is a lack of understanding about longevity among not only pre-retirees, but retirees. They just don't understand the impact of extended lifetimes and the advances that have been made in medication therapies, surgery techniques, quality of life. It's made an enormous difference. So it's not a matter that you live 5, 7, 10 years into retirement average, you know, dying in your early 70s. This is where people are living into their 80s, 90s, and beyond. And so you have to then say, well, I have to make sure that my assets live just as I do, and that I can't let my assets die before I die. So this is a very serious issue. And then in order to get through retirement, live through it, you have to have a steady, reliable source of income. Now, some of that can come from dividends. Some of it can come from capital gains. It may also come from clipping coupons on bonds. There are other sources as well. And you have to decide on some kind of system that you're going to have some growth. Maybe it's going to be laddered strategies. And whatever you do, you have to have a real return, that whatever your return is, it has to be greater than the rate of inflation. So you have a return that makes your capital grow over an extended period of time. Now, if this was merely a question of capital, that would be simple. But you also have to derive income from that capital, as I indicated just before. We have a real interesting study that just came out by Anthony Webb, who is at the New School in New York. And what he's trying to do is finally put to rest the 4% rule, and well, it's not really a rule, it's a benchmark, but mm-hmm. but his research really is designed to say enough already with this 4% rule. It doesn't work. Its time has come and it has gone. And he is talking about a 3% rule, if you will, but this 3% has to grow with inflation, and it has to be able to extend for a longer period of time. And he looks at a number of different ways of doing it. We just talked about some. But he also likes to use a fixed index annuity with an increasing income benefit combined with other things to make sure that you have enough income. And now we have to no longer disregard inflation. Because we were very lucky for 40 years. We had no significant amount of inflation, but now we do. So we have to think about appreciating assets. And in order to have additional income and have additional growth in our assets, it's important that we have increasing purchasing power. And there are a lot of different ways of doing that. Now, when you're looking at deriving income, if you're going to use the safe withdrawal income rate, if that's the one that you're going to use, then you really have to be very flexible in your ability to make adjustments on the fly, and that also requires that you have a budget. And the budget is the single most important document that you can have. Without having a budget and a commitment to a budget, there's no serious way in which anybody can do any planning for you, because you don't know, what you're spending your money on. You don't know what's flexible, what's inflexible. And most important of all, you don't have any kind of commitment as to what your money is going to do for you and what needs to be done for you. In other words, without a budget, I don't know how much income a person needs. I don't know how much liquidity we have to build in, how much free cash flow do we have to have every month. What can we reasonably expect, realistic expectations, based on the life expectancy of appliances, automobiles, based on increased spending, usually at the beginning of retirement, which is when most people want to do their traveling, when they're young enough and healthy enough to do that. So there have also been a lot of studies, and I'll just touch on this. There have been a lot of studies that have come out recently on diversification and what are the best assets to have in a diversified portfolio in different stages of the cycle. So, but let me say, one of the things that I find that people ignore is the fact that there will always be a business cycle. And it's sometimes difficult to know where you are in the cycle and how you need to protect yourself against things that are going to happen at some point. And you may not know the exact point. People don't take into consideration the business cycle and not understanding where they might be in the business cycle, and how do you act in order to protect yourself. It's understanding which risks you can offload, diversifiable risks, and which risks you cannot offload to anybody, and they're yours. And so if you can't know exactly or don't really understand the business cycle, you don't have to, but you do have to have enough flexibility that when drawdowns occur or if we get a correction at some point, which we will, because it is inevitable that we will get one, then then you have to have enough resources available. And it just could be in your emergency fund, a contingency fund. It could be withdrawing a larger amount of money in good years and then just putting that aside. It's not really part of your emergency fund. It's just separate money that's put aside for you to draw on when you need income. So, I mean, these are some of the most basic considerations, and it just astonishes me how difficult it is to get people to understand that these are realities. Now, you know, you don't know what you don't know, but there are some things that you don't know that will not harm you. There are other things that you don't know that will harm you mm-hmm. and can be catastrophic. And this is in that area of what is catastrophic. If you don't know it, or you are reluctant
or you
to take advice in this area.
Yeah. You could have gotten bad advice, too. You know, it's almost like it's so weird. You were talking about longevity. We're living longer now, but yet we're still retiring at about the same age we always have, it seems like. So, I mean, I know eventually that'll change. Looking at investing in retirement and what needs to be factored in, looking at just a couple of things here. One, health care. Two, you having fun in retirement. Something's got to fund the fun. And then your legacy wishes, if you could speak to those.
Yeah, the only thing I will say about health care is I don't know if I coined this phrase, but we have longevity. And I think we have healthjevity now as well.
We do. And, it goes with it.
Yeah, people do not understand the complications of Medicare. They think it's a slam dunk. They think they hit 65 and they apply for Medicare. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. It also depends on you working. Are you working for an employer with 20 employees or more, or 20 employees or less? When do you enroll in Part B? How do you decide when you are eligible, which of these plans you need to consider? And you have to look at the tax implications of these, the IRMA charges, separate charges for Part B and Part D of Medicare. Are you gonna need to help some of your kids at different times, your grandkids? And the other thing is, estate planning is very much a part of legacy planning. And in a lot of states, you may have a state estate tax. Most states have decoupled from the federal estate tax system. Right now, it appears that the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, we have to consider that it may be repealed. We don't know who's going to win the election, and we don't know what they're going to do. Even if Trump wins, which appears likely right now, but still, we just don't know what's going to happen here. But for those states that have decoupled from the federal system, like New York, at 3.1 million, you're paying estate tax. In New York, in New Jersey, the estate tax has not been repealed. It's just not being enforced at the current time. But we have an inheritance tax, which is quite substantial. And its purpose is to replace the estate tax. But there are other states that do have estate taxes, and some cities have estate taxes. So we have to look at estate planning as part of the financial plan. We have to look. This is really important. Beneficiary planning. I mean, I could talk for an hour just about beneficiary planning. I mean, this will defeat any kind of estate plan if you don't keep it up to date and don't make sure that your beneficiaries, your money is going to where you want it to go.
Right, it could get ugly.
Yeah, and if you're charitably inclined, there's a lot of opportunity to take advantage of charitable planning, and it goes beyond simplistic type planning. You can get into fairly sophisticated planning, and some of these opportunities are enormous, but you do have to be charitably inclined. Now, if you have no interest, none whatsoever, in leaving a legacy behind, you may decide that you want to give your kids and your grandkids the money while they're alive, pay for college education, pay for their home, help them in other ways, give them their entire inheritance while you're alive. You may not have any interest then in leaving a legacy, but on the other hand, if you do, then that has to be factored into it. Now, one of the things that we do is we work on tax diversification and tax efficiency, and that's a very important part of the retirement plan, because taxes are a very significant issue in retirement, A, because the code changes, and not only do you get an additional exemption if you're married to one exemption for each spouse, or the fact that once you turn Social Security on, the tax code really changes. And we have the tax torpedo or tax bazooka, and there can be more than one of them. And so we get very high rates of taxation at different points on certain amounts of income. And we also have distortion in capital gains caused by what happens on income and the tax torpedo, which forces income to be, the rates to be paid at much higher rates. And then if you have to add in the IRMA surcharges, those are excise taxes, which are non-deductible. But I'm going to say this, and I know that people who are hearing this will not believe me, but you can have, on a tax torpedo, you can go up to 150%. On the impact of the IRMA charges can be over 400%, and I have, in completing recently a 5-week course on the impact of IRMA taxes. We had classroom examples of between 450% to 1,500% with IRMA taxes. Now, I know anybody listening to this is going to say, well, he must be sniffing local weed. Hmm. But no, in fact, this can happen. Remember, Roth conversions or the sale of your home is not are not events that you can use to get a reprieve on the excess charges for IRMA. So, I mean, these are all things that you need to take into consideration. And last but by no means least, the single most important thing is, do you want to live in retirement being worried about money all right. the time? That's a tremendous drag, tremendous emotional drain, worrying about money, worrying about debt. Where's the money going to come from? Or do you want to offload the worry and be confident about your situation and confident about being in control of your money? Not me, not somebody else, you. You should be into control of your money so it does exactly for you what you want it to do. And it's actually possible for you to do just that. And then you can enjoy your retirement. This can literally be your golden years instead of fretting and worrying and biting your nails and worrying where the next dollar is gonna come from. And if you can have confidence in this, then life is gonna be sunny. You're gonna be sitting on that beach chair enjoying yourself and sipping a margarita or whatever your favorite beverage is.
You had me a beach chair. I love that. Yeah, that's good. I mean, and you want to be able to, would you work so hard for? You want to have fun And as Fred said, that peace of mind in your retirement, that's where Fred can come in. You don't have to go it alone. That's the beautiful thing. Fred was talking about important things that, or actually dangerous things if you don't know, the things, some of the things you don't know, but he does. And so if you want to see what it could look like, you can schedule with Fred with a call to 800-593-8188. 800-593-8188. And when we come back, we're going to dive into some questions that you should answer or have the answers to make sure that you handle your asset allocation properly as you enter retirement.
Are you losing sleep over market volatility affecting your hard-earned retirement savings? You can't afford to lose a big portion of your nest egg with not enough time to recover. Many people want safety and the guarantee of principal, but also prefer the potential of higher growth with the market. And now you can have both. Call Fred Sade at Money Matters USA at 800-593-8188. That's 800-593-8188.
Five questions you should really have the answer to in determining your asset allocation strategies. Five questions Fred will probably ask you when you meet with him. We're back with Fred Sade and Money Matters USA. MoneyMattersUSA.net. Be sure to click podcast and hear the other 151 podcasts there. Do the read up on them and listen on demand. Also, click that red light tab to learn about the red light on the dashboard program that can be implemented on your behalf by Fred in a custom fashion. Red light on the dashboard. All that's at MoneyMattersUSA.net. All right, here are those questions about asset allocation. What is your risk tolerance, Fred? That's a good opener.
Yeah, it is. And we do risk tolerance questionnaires about every 2 years. And risk tolerance really is psychometric. And it's variable. It's not really fixed. It really depends on how you are doing in the markets. If you're doing well, your risk tolerance will expand. If you're not doing well, it will contract. It's a question of how much volatility you're willing and able to absorb without going to cash. And that's a matter of how much loss you can tolerate. And that's a very, very important consideration. It's not a one-shot deal, drawn up by compliance or the compliance attorneys and do it once and never ask again. That's inappropriate. Because your risk tolerance will change at different points over time, and it needs to be renewed constantly. I mean, this is, as I said in the first part, we always have the business cycle, but volatility is always present, and we're always going to have drawdowns and corrections. And so it's a question of how much can you absorb, because that's going to also depend on your age. Look, if you're 30, 40 years old, you lose 50%, you can hold fast and wait for recovery. You've got time. If you're 60, 70, 80, you don't have time anymore. So your risk tolerance is going to be different because you cannot afford 30, 40, 50, 60% losses. You have to keep those losses contained within a 5, 10, 11 percent, because your time to recovery is quick.
So is that the capacity part of this?
Your risk tolerance.
No, oh,
risk
that's capacity. Tolerance. Okay.
It's all risk tolerance. Now, risk capacity is a completely different situation. Risk capacity is more fixed than risk tolerance. Risk capacity is really, you're looking at the whole issue of your investments, your assets, your emergency funds. I mean, really, it's very easy to understand, you know, when we're doing bucketing, you know, because we have different buckets for different points in time. We have for immediate income, we have for and short-term assets, medium-term assets, guaranteed income, and then the longer-term probability-based assets. So risk capacity really is not a risk-based issue. It's
really numbers,
more
right?
more finite. Now, when you do look at risk, you're looking at risk quite separately. And risk is different than volatility. Now, risk has three components, and you're going to get different definitions of risk. If you ask a lot of people, they'll say it's synonymous with volatility. It's mm-hmm. not. There are three essential components in risk. There has to be uncertainty. There has to be exposure, and there has to be hazard. And those three things have to be there. Neither of those three things are present in volatility. That's just a gyration mm-hmm. Of the market. And we know from Markowitz that we have reversion to the mean. So reversion to the mean means a 50% chance of something happening one way or the other. And we know from the coin toss experiments that a coin or a slug or a disc has no memory. So there's absolutely no way to know what the market is going to do or what a particular sector is going to do one day to the next. It's a coin flip. It's 50% either way. So that's the difference between risk tolerance and risk capacity. Risk capacity is fixed. It's more finite, and it's more demonstrable. Risk tolerance is more psychometric, more psychological. What we're trying to find out, among other things, is what will you do under stress?
Right.
And then you have to remind people. That's part of what the advisor is supposed to do. It's supposed to hold people's feet to the fire and say, hey, you said that if you, and we agreed, and the whole program is based on a 10% loss. And if you lose 10%, we're not going to cash because that's it, 10%. We can recover from that. We need about 11.1% to recover from a 10% loss. No, it's not a big deal. It's not the same thing as a 50% loss where we need better than 100% to get back to where we started from, assuming no withdrawals and no fees in that 100% that we need to recover, and it also assumes no withdrawals and no fees is a big and no charges on the part of the advisor for AUM, for assets under management.
Mm-hmm.
So those are three big asks. That's not likely to occur. Time horizon.
That's a big one.
Yeah, it is, and that means that you have to look at the short, medium, and long term, and this is why ladder strategies are frequently used because it helps us adjust for things that we can't necessarily predict. So we always want to have liquidity to take care of opportunities and to make sure we can counteract inflation and we have enough of income. And we know that over time, expenses are going to change. The expenses that we thought were necessary at the beginning of retirement, those are not necessarily expenses that we're going to have at the end stage of later on in retirement, where our spending does go up significantly, but it's largely medical expenditures rather than travel or vacation type expenses. And it's necessary right at the beginning to come to an understanding of how you're going to generate income in retirement. Now, we've discussed this before, but there are, again, there's three major sources of income strategies, and this is the safe income withdrawal rates, time segmentation and bucketing or flooring, and they can all be used in combination with each other, though some people prefer to use one over the other. But you have to understand what the pros are. That's easy. But what are the cons? What are the dangers here? And how are you going to manage the downside of these strategies? So all of this is necessary in your time horizon. And again, you come back to longevity. So it people who say, oh, I looked at my parents and they lived, they died in their 70s. It's not relevant unless there's a genetic issue here where you inherited a dangerous gene from one of your parents and that cuts your life short. But leaving that aside, you're going to live a lot longer, than your parents did, provided you exercise, you don't use tobacco, you don't drink to excess, and you keep your eating within reasonable bounds. Those are the essential issues.
Well, and then a couple more questions here to round out the five. We'll get to legacy in a second, but you touched on this earlier. I mean, what do you need? What kind of returns do you need?
Well, you can't answer that. That's a great question, but you can't answer it until you know what your budget is.
Right.
Your budget defines how much income you need and how much free cash you need. So that once you've answered that first question, you could then the income question then becomes very simple, and then we need to know how much of that income needs to be protected income that's guaranteed to be present above and beyond Social Security and a pension, if you're fortunate enough to have a pension. And then we like to use annuities in order to give us a guaranteed amount of income that we know will be there and cannot be outlived. So we would have those sources. I mean, you can also use cash values. Life insurance can be used, and you can also use the credit line on a reverse mortgage to supplement strategies. Suppose you use a safe income withdrawal rate, and you can combine that, say, with a reverse mortgage, so when the market is negative, you don't have to touch your portfolios. You take money from the credit line on your reverse mortgage. The market recovers. You recover. You stop taking from the reverse mortgage. You take from your investments. Maybe you pay down the amounts that you took from the reverse mortgage. I mean, that's a perfectly viable strategy that can be used. You can take excess withdrawals. You can use a combination of dividend paying stocks and bonds or treasuries, and you can also use income annuities. Income annuities with a 3% withdrawal rate will outperform just taking from equities and bonds. I mentioned Anthony Webb's study, and you can find that at the Retirement Income Institute. You can just go online for the Retirement Income Institute and look for Anthony Webb's study, and it's a comprehensive study. Might be a little more detailed than some people are comfortable with, but if you slog your way through or skim it and get to the conclusions, you'll see that he builds a very solid research case for that. Wade Fow is another one who has shown the importance of using income annuities withdrawal strategy and using some of these other options that I mentioned. And again, we have to account for inflation, and that can be done through having a sufficient excess income that can be put aside and saved, and is available when you need it to bump up the amount of monthly income that you need. And I mean, these are some very viable ways of doing it. But I mean, if only 30% of your income is protected, I mean, you're really rolling the dice on the market being favorable to you throughout a 25-30 year retirement. And that's a big roll of the dice. I mean, that's playing the roulette. That's playing roulette with your retirement.
Yeah, it really is. And finally, and in closing, and you really did touch on this earlier also, but as far as determining your asset allocation, your legacy wishes factor in.
Yeah, I mean, you have to make decisions about how much you want to leave behind for your heirs, and do you have any charitable inclinations? You have to integrate the estate planning with the financial planning, because they're really tied together very tightly today. So you may have a state tax issue. You may not. You may live in a state that has no estate tax, but you still want to make sure that you have other taxes that can be in the income. One of the taxes that is not discussed, and it really amazes me, but there is a legitimate tax called income in respect of a decedent, and it's primarily through qualified assets or deferred compensation arrangements. And this basically requires the payment of income tax, not just on what's been received. You've already paid taxes on it, but how about those streams that haven't been received? Some of that stream is going to be taxable right up front before you get it. And so it's amazing to me that how many accountants are just not familiar with it. I even had one recently accuse me of making it up. I sent them a link to the IRS website on their publication, Income in Respect of a Decedent. He called me up and apologized. He said he wasn't aware that he had run into it in the past, but there it is. This is important to make these decisions. But these are all about control. When you're getting into balancing, how much income do I want? How much of my assets am I going to use? What am I going to send into the future? How am I going to do that? Those are all control issues. A lot of people refuse to do estate planning and legacy planning because they're afraid that they're going to lose control. It's not true. You can maintain control from beyond the grave and make sure that your assets do what you want them to do when you're alive and after you're gone. So these are some of the key things that need to be done. And remember, you know what you know, you don't know what you don't know, and that's important. You just don't know what you don't know, and the question is, how harmful will that be to you?
Right. As you said earlier, some things wouldn't hurt you, but some things you don't know could. And you don't have to know everything, but it certainly can't hurt to work with someone who's a fiduciary, who's focused on retirement planning and done that for years, and that is Fred, because Fred can help you know what you don't know.
That's true.
That's always important.
That is true. And let me just close out from my perspective, and that is, if you own a business and you're a shareholder and you are assuming, that there's going to be somebody in there to buy it at the price that you think, and your wealth is really tied up, I mean, these are conversations that we ought to be having with you, not just if you're an employee or an investor, but also if you're a business owner or shareholder in a closely held business, unlocking your equity and doing it in a tax-efficient way and getting value for it. I mean, those are all enormously challenging. And if you're in a dying industry, like printing, dry cleaning, for example, those are industries that are really dying. How are you going to unlock your equity in those situations? We can help.
Well, and help he will, and talk to you he will. 800-593-8188, 800-593-8188 to reach out to Fred, or moneymattersusa.net. And while you're there, be sure to click podcast. There's 151 other ones that you can scroll through and read the write-up on each, listen on demand. Stump the Guru is there at the podcast tab if you want to send a question to Fred. And if you try to stump him, if you do it successfully, he makes it worth your while. And the Red Light Program tab, click that to learn about the red light on the dashboard. That's at moneymattersusa.net. The only thing we ask is stay with us. These drop every Friday. Money Matters USA.
Investment advisory services offered through Money Matters USA, LLC. Fred Sade and his guests provide general information, not individually targeted personalized advice, and are not liable for the usage of information discussed. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell in any of these financial vehicles. This information should also not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with a professional specializing in the fields of tax, legal, accounting, or investments regarding the applicability of this information for their situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate and when redeemed may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to the securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are offered through Money Matters USA, LLC. By contacting Money Matters USA, you may be provided information regarding the purchase of insurance products.